How the brothers doing tonight? That didn't sound right. How the brothers doing tonight? Amen. This is considered a men's class. Okay. All right. We have the men of the church in the house.
Amen.
And tonight I'm excited about my lesson. I'm extremely excited about my lesson because it convicted me, it moved me, it challenged me, and I pray that it will challenge the rest of us.
Amen.
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 Amen. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start reading at verse 18. And tonight, we're going to talk about the greatest calling of mankind. We're going to talk about the call of Jesus.
Amen.
And for us, for those of us that are disciples of Jesus Christ, we have made that decision to follow Jesus, to obey Jesus, to submit to his laws. Matthew chapter 4. Start reading in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that when Jesus called these fishermen, at once they followed him. Even the brothers that were in the boat with their fathers, they dropped it all.
Amen.
To say, I'm going to follow Jesus.
Amen.
He gave them a new purpose. Because their purpose was to go out and fish. But Jesus says, no longer will you be doing that. You will be fishing for men. It is a call, brothers, to save this lost world.
That's right.
Amen.
They were excited about it. We have to understand what this call is all about. Because some of us make this call or were called a long time ago, and it's kind of a lost cause.
Come on.
We don't hear that call anymore. We hear that call of, I got to go to school. I got to get to that job. We're hearing so many different calls, but we don't pay attention enough to the call of Jesus. And we got to get back to it, brothers.
Amen.
He has called us to a great purpose. Men, we need purpose in our lives.
Amen.
We need something bigger for us to live for.
That's right.
We need to have a cause to live for and to die for. A cause worth dying for. If it cost us everything, would we say it was worth it at the end of the day? Giving our lives to God's purpose is an eternal impact.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Without that purpose, what are we living for? Are we living for that 9 to 5? It's just week after week, get up, go to work, come home, get up, go to work, come home, get up, go to school, come home. It's just, it's boring.
That's right. Come on, man.
There's nothing fulfilling about that. It sucks the life out of you.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brothers, we need to live for the purpose of the call of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Richard always says this, never give your life to anything that death can take away. Mm-hmm. We're pouring our lives into other things. Whether it's a career, whether it's education, whatever it may be, we can no longer do that and please God and serve God. We need something that's worth dying for.
Amen. Amen.
Do we still heed the call of following Jesus? That's my question. Are we still making time to be the disciples that Jesus called us to be? And what kind of time is it? Is it 30 minutes a day? If that, what are we doing with the time that Jesus has given us? And what I see, brothers, I see a lot of us. We've gotten so distracted. And how can I tell? I can look at a man, I can look at their wives, and I can look at their children. And that's a telltale sign of a man that's been distracted.
Come on,
wow. Turn over to Mark chapter 4. We're talking to the men tonight, right?
Yeah.
Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading at verse 14. It says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. Others, like seed sown on the rocky places, heard the word and at once received it with joy. Since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown amongst the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. Brothers, there's nothing wrong with pursuing a career. There's nothing wrong with higher education. There's nothing wrong with that. But when it takes you away from the calling that you've received, when it gets squeezed out, when God's word is no longer a part of your life, a part of your lifestyle, the word is being choked out.
That's right.
And the longer we're Christians, the more that happens. The longer that we're Christians, the more that tends to happen. If it's going to cost you your soul, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
If it's going to cost you the opportunity to see God, it is not worth it.
Amen.
We all need to make sure not only that we hear the word, but we heed the calling.
Amen. Amen.
What are we called to do, brothers? We're called to seek and save the lost. Matthew 22 verse 37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Brother, that's what we're called to do as men. We are called to love the Lord our God. That is why we were created.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is why we were created. We weren't created to live stressed out lives trying to deal with everyday issues every day, all day. That's not what we were called and created to do.
Right.
Is God number one in your heart? Is loving God number one? And it shows up in many ways. By the time you get up in the morning, are you looking forward to being with God and getting with God? Because if not, it's going to show up throughout the day.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to show up at the workplace.
Yep.
It's going to show up at school.
Well.
It's going to show up in your house with your wife. Mm-hmm. It's going to show up in your interactions with your children. Because they can see it.
That's right.
They can tell who you are devoted to. Who is number one in your life.
Yeah.
Guys, this is important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you don't know how to do that, get some help.
Right.
Get some help. This is a matter of life or death. The best thing a man can do for his family, for his wife, for his roommates, for his colleagues at work, is to love God with all of his heart. Try that on and see what difference it makes in your life. Our families must see us on our knees, brothers. They must see us sharing our faith, being excited about it. They must see us imitating Jesus.
Amen.
And see us making a stance for God. That I will not be like the rest of the world. This is what our families need. This is what our kids need more than they need an education, a cell phone, or whatever. This is what they need. Brothers, what would our ministry look like if every man in this room decided tonight to say, I'm going to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength?
Come on.
Amen.
How different will this church be? It will be totally different. We need to honor God with our lives. We have a purpose. We're here to love God and to make disciples.
Amen.
We're here to teach men how to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Everyone that we come in contact with needs to know that we love God.
Amen.
By our lives.
Yep.
Without a doubt, you shouldn't have to say a word because they could tell by your character, by your convictions, by what you stand for.
Amen.
We're called to help people get to heaven.
Amen.
How's that going? At our schools, in our workplaces. How's that going, brothers? If it's not going well, we have to change.
Yeah, man.
What happens is we get busy pursuing the things of this world. Turn over to 1 John 2.
Come on, Mike.
First John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, for the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever.
Amen.
Amen.
What are we doing? Are we loving the world? We have to love God, brothers. Solomon had everything. But in the end, what did he say? Let's read that. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 in verse 13. This is the wisest man that's ever lived. The man that had everything that his heart desires. But at the end, he came to this conclusion. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind.
Amen.
Fear God and keep his commands.
Amen.
Satan doesn't like this message.
Nope.
He doesn't want us holding on to these words and applying these words. But this is what Jesus wants us to do.
Amen.
We're the brothers, right?
Yeah.
We can talk, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all can say amen. Amen is good.
Yeah.
I love amen. But I want to talk about something else tonight. I hadn't heard it in a while, but I want to talk about our purity. In a room this size, I know that Satan has a few of us in his clutches when it comes to immorality, impurity, pornography.
Come on, Bishop.
Brothers, we got to get open. We got to get real. We are sinful creatures. We're going to always struggle with sin. We have to deal with our lust and our selfishness and our pride. We have to deal with it in a radical way.
Amen.
But whatever the temptation is, God has a way out for us.
Amen.
We have to say no. Can y'all say that with me?
Yeah.
No. We have to say no. It's spring, brothers. Times are changing. And you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Turn over to Matthew 5. In verse 16. I'm sorry, Matthew 5, we're going to start in verse 13. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, brothers, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen.
I love that passage. Brothers, we are the light of the world.
Amen.
That's exciting. You want your years as a disciple to be a light. A shining light.
Amen.
A bright light. A neon light. That people are like, whoa, what is going on? What's up with this guy? Man, he is shining. There's something going on with him. There should be people flocking to us to ask that question.
Amen.
I want my light to shine because Jesus called us to a life of purpose, a life of righteousness, a life of personal purity.
Amen.
Is your light shining or is it under a bowl? Our lights should not be under a bowl, brothers. And if it's under a bowl tonight, get some help.
Amen.
Talk to somebody. How bright is your light? Is it shining on the campuses? Is there a halo over your head on the campus? Is it shining at your workplaces? Do people see that there's a difference in you than the other men that are at the workplace? Are you one person, one kind of person at church, and then when you leave here, you're a totally different kind of person? Brothers, this is some serious stuff. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked.
Right.
We can't play church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You should be able to stand up and stand out, and people should recognize you because you have been with Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
Who knows you? In this room, who knows you? Who really knows you? Are you really open about your life? We're going to stay in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart with her. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go to hell.
Amen.
Brother, this is radical.
Yes.
This is some radical teaching.
Yeah.
And some of us are stuck in sin and refuse to be open about it and refuse to repent. But the Bible says here, you would be better off to cut it off.
Amen.
Because tomorrow is not promised.
True.
I got a call last Monday. It's a friend of mine, good friend of mine. His wife's grandfather had a heart attack Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Not even 30 minutes later, he got another call. His wife's dad was found dead. Father and son, just like that, gone. Tomorrow's not promised, brothers. We can't be stuck. We don't have time to be stuck. We have to be radical. You know, some of us are probably thinking, man, you know, some of these women probably, they dress, you know, this way or that way. Brother, the problem isn't how the women are dressed. The problem is our hearts.
Yeah.
It's our hearts. We're sinful. We're sinful. Women are going to dress the way they dress. But as brothers, as Christians, as disciples, we have to be radical.
Amen.
About the way that we deal with situations like that.
Yeah.
We have to be moved by God's word, not because of someone is going to hold me accountable.
Right.
Not because somebody may be watching me at school, watching this girl. Right. Or somebody watching me in the office, watching this girl.
Right.
That shouldn't be our motivation.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It should be because we love God.
Amen.
And I wouldn't think that we can't take this literally because we would all be blind with no hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We'd be a bunch of main folks up in here. But we need to deal with our hearts. And the way that we deal with our hearts is being in God's word every single day.
Amen.
Confessing our sins to one another.
Amen.
Being open. Brothers, we're going to mess up. That's a given. We are going to mess up. But God has a way out for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have a question. When it comes to our sexual sins in the church, in this church, is it any different from outside in the world?
Come on.
By the way we deal with it. Is it any different? Because, you know, when I was in the world, I would have coworkers come and boast about how many women they slept with, what's going on here, what's going on there, what's going on here, and it wouldn't be a problem. Is it any different in this room? There should be a difference.
Amen.
If you're a man of God, we should be leading the sisters with absolute purity.
Amen.
How can you hold up the church as a light if you're living in darkness? Brothers, light and darkness can't live together. And if that's what you're doing right now, God will find out. You can keep it from the brothers in here. You can keep it from your spouse. You can keep it from your roommates. But God knows.
Right.
And he, I'll say it again, he will not be mocked.
Right.
Brothers, let's deal with our hearts.
Amen.
People are looking for something different. There are men on the campuses, at our high schools, in our workplaces. They are longing for something different, something to live for.
Yep.
That's us, brothers. We have to be that. Can you say, can you turn to your right or your left in this room and say, imitate me as I imitate Christ?
Come on.
Can we say that and feel great about it? Brothers, it's time to get radical. It's time to change.
Amen.
We cannot keep coming to church week after week after week after week, and there's no radical repentance.
Come on, man.
You know what you need to change.
Yeah.
I know what I need to change. It's time to change. It's time to make a difference. The men have to lead in this church.
Right.
Because if they don't lead, guess what? The women will try to lead.
Yeah.
And that's not biblical.
Yep.
Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
Are we ready to lead?
Yeah.
Deal with our hearts, brothers. And get right with God. Make every effort to be pure simply because you love God and you want to do what's right by Him.
Amen.
Not because someone may find you out. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, we all fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to stumble and fall. But we have to get back up,
right.
Be open, and continue to move forward.
Amen.
Turn over to John 8. I've always thought about this passage for quite some time. John 8. We're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, Then they all went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law of Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." I've often wondered, what did Jesus write on the ground? And I've come to my own conclusions. I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. I think that he wrote, where's the other party? Where's the man? I'm just kidding. I'm just, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here. But where was the man?
Yep.
Because it takes two, right?
Yeah, right.
Where's the man? We're going to make mistakes. We're going to get embarrassed. We're going to fall. But we need to get back up and repent, brothers.
Amen.
The Bible says, go leave your life of sin. Deal with it. We're called to purity, a life of purity, not a life of self-pity. And a lot of times, that's where we go. We start feeling sorry for ourselves because of something that we did.
Right.
That's not the life that Jesus calls us to. We need to walk in the light. We need to walk away from darkness. Brothers, are we hearing this call tonight? How open is your heart to the call of Jesus? Tomorrow may be judgment day. Time is not on our side. We don't have time. And if you're young in here, you probably think you have time. There's no time. Like today. What are we waiting on? We need to keep walking towards Jesus. It takes courage to be a man of God. It takes a pure heart to be faithful to God. It takes conviction. It takes character. We need to be faithful husbands and stay pure in our dating relationships as well.
Amen.
Turn over to John. John 1. Let's start reading at verse 43. You brothers with me?
Yes.
John, with you.
So we talked about the call of our mission and our purpose. We talked about the call of being pure. But my last point is, we have to heed the call of the possibilities that God has in store for us. Jesus calls us to many, many possibilities, and we need to believe that. In John 1, in verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathan and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Amen.
This is a great story here. Jesus told Nathanael, "I saw you." He was blown away. He was like, "Whoa! He saw me? I've never seen him, but he saw me?" Jesus saw us, brothers.
That's right, amen. All right.
He saw us when we were stuck in that slimy pit.
Right.
He saw us while we were still being formed in our mother's womb.
Yep.
He saw us.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
He saw us. He saw us, and he has a vision for our lives.
Amen.
Even when we were stuck in sin and wrapped up in sin, he saw that vision. He knew that you would heed the call. He sent someone to share the gospel with you. We are called to great possibilities. Brothers, the Christian life is the most amazing life that has ever been lived. It's an amazing life. You know, I think about like going to the carnival. You know, the illustration of a Christian life. It's not the merry-go-round. I think it's more so like the roller coaster. Right? It's just like this, guys. All the time. It's nonstop. Sometimes it slows down. Sometimes it speeds up. It's ongoing. It's always going, going, going. Brothers, if God told us what we were going to encounter on this journey before we became Christians, we would have never become Christians. I know for me, I mean, having a child born at 2 pounds, having a son suffering from sickle cell since birth, I mean, making knucklehead mistakes time and time and time again,
right.
I would have turned my back if I would have known what God was going to take me through to help me to be a man of God, to help me to have the character that it takes to be a husband, to be a father, to be a man of God. It is an amazing life. And Jesus has a vision for our lives.
Amen.
There are two things that need to happen, though, to reach these possibilities. The first one is, and this is a big one, we have to learn to trust God.
Amen.
Brothers, we are so self-reliant. We like to take matters into our own hands. I know what's best for me. I got this. I'm going to do it my way. That's not the heart of God. We have to put our trust in him. We need to be on our knees every day.
Amen. Right.
We need to be in our Bibles every day.
Right.
And we need to be asking God, God, help me to trust you with my finances.
Yeah.
Help me to trust you at my workplace.
Amen.
To get the grades that I need. To be righteous. To be honest, to be pure. We need to be praying for those things.
Amen.
God will take us to places and put us in situations that we won't understand until we start trusting him. That's why a lot of us are just frustrated week in and week out. Because our lack of trust. Do not trust God. Turn over to Luke 5. It's my last scripture. I'm running out. Well, it's not my last scripture. I'm running out of time here. Luke 5. starting in verse 4. When he had finished speaking, that's Jesus, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When he had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. I'm going to stop there. Jesus told Simon Peter to pull out into deep waters. And brothers, that's what God is calling us to do.
That's right.
And some of us are like, oh no, I'm not going there. That looks dangerous and it's deep. There may be sharks in there. But we're all called to go out into deep waters.
Amen.
As disciples.
Amen.
Peter hesitated. There's a level of trust that we should have with God that we will have with no other man.
That's right.
God is calling us out of our comfort zone. If you seek me first, I will take care of your job.
That's right.
I will take care of the finances.
That's right.
I will take care of your education. I will make sure that I give you desires of your heart.
That's right.
I will take care of your future. You don't have to worry about those things. Trust me.
Amen.
Who do you trust?
Amen.
Who do we trust? God is saying, trust me.
Amen.
We struggle so much with trusting that we do not see the possibilities with God becoming a reality. He has a plan for our lives. Another thing that's going to get us to these possibilities is that we must be trained.
Come on.
Yeah.
We must be trained. Brothers, we are the body of Christ.
Amen.
When you look at your body, it's one functioning body. You need the arms, the legs, the feet, the eyes, the ears. One cannot function without the other, or not function well.
Right.
But some of us feel like we don't need the body.
Mm-hmm.
We're so independent. And that's why the frustration sets in our lives, that we're stressed out. The apostles for 3 years were trained by Jesus. He trained them to be leaders. Who's training you? I praise God for people like Steve Collier. I do. I mean, that brother has invested in me. He has train me, disciple me, correct me, love me. Brothers like Harold McCurdy, over the last 15 years, has trained me, discipled me, helped me with my marriage, seen me stumble and fall, and didn't kick me around, but picked me up and said, get up and let's go.
Amen.
Brothers, we all need someone to help us.
Amen.
If I ask you to write down a list of brothers that have influenced you, would they know that they're on your list? Would they know that? Who influences you? Is it your coworker? Is it that VP? Is it somebody at school? Who influences you? The Bible says we have been entrusted, that we need to entrust to reliable men who are qualified to teach others. Who is training us, single brothers, how to date, how to be a good student? Who's training us on how to study the Bible with people? How to disciple people? How to help people? How to be a good husband and a great father? Brothers, that takes humility.
Mm-hmm.
That takes humility.
Yeah.
We have to be strong in the Lord. You cannot teach others if you're sitting around being independent. And others cannot teach you. Who do you trust with the darkness that goes on in your soul? Who do you talk to, brothers? Who's equipping you? Who's helping you? If you do not get the help that you need, you remain immature in Christ and will move up Satan's list of potential men that I can snatch away.
That's right.
That I can say, I got another one. I got him.
Wow.
I got him. You know, I have a daughter. And one of the first things I'm going to ask the brother that wants to date my daughter. The first question I'm going to ask him is, who are your friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you helping them? And are they helping you?
That's right.
That's going to be major for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because as men, we're called to lead our sisters. And we don't want our wives or our children living a life of frustration because we got some bonehead disciple that will not and refuse to get the help, to get the training that is needed to be like Jesus. And I'm just keeping it real. I praise God for men in my life. We are called to possibilities. There's so much that men can do and be for God. And the problem is not that there's not enough brothers. The problem is that the ones that we have aren't giving their whole heart to God. That has to change in the Atlantic Church of Christ in Gwinnett.
Amen.
Have you been with Jesus? Jesus says, come and be with me, and I will fill you with my Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come be with me, and I will help you have an eternal impact. Brothers, let's heed the call of Jesus. Let's go and be true disciples of Jesus.
Amen.
And to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Amen.